Thank you, Marty. That was beautiful. Please join us in singing now the Red Hymnal 237.
Can I talk first?
Oh, I'm sorry. You bet.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Good morning. My name is Pastor Claire Douglas, and I'm so excited to be here with all of you this morning on our last Sunday in Advent. A couple of announcements. One, our Christmas Eve worship service will be in 2 days at 7 p.m. It'll be a candlelight service. Please join us here for that. No Sunday school this Sunday or next Sunday. We hope all of the kids enjoy their break. How are we doing on Salvation Army bell ringers? We good?
We're done.
We're done. Oh, well, that's awesome. If you rang bells, will you raise your hand? Wow. Thank you all for that wonderful, wonderful ministry. And thank you. I know that makes a big difference in our community. And lastly, I wanted to tell you all that I will be with you next week. And then the next 2 weeks, I will not be with you. I will be in Peru. I have received the opportunity to go on a volunteer and mission trip with young adults down to Peru, and I will be there for about 2 weeks, serving primarily refugee communities. I'm super excited, super nervous, but it will be a wonderful time. You will have two wonderful guest preachers, Mallory, who is the executive director of The Crossing, will speak 1 week, and then Shadow Hansen, who's the intern at St. John's, who preached here on Thanksgiving Eve, will preach the second week. So those are all of my announcements. Now, would you stand and join in singing hymn number 237, Sing We Now of Christmas?
Please join me in our praise. We come to prepare
the way for Christ.
The hope of Christ, the peace of Christ. We cry out together in the wilderness.
The kingdom of heaven has come near.
We come to be part of the light.
The light that shines in the darkness.
Let us pray together the opening prayer in your bulletin. God, your world stands in need of you. Everywhere we look, we see the need for you, for your coming, your restoration, your peace, your transformation. Lead us to proclaim the good news of your coming of your Son. To all of those who need to hear a message of hope and goodness, come to the earth this Christmas season. Amen. Please join in singing Good Christian Friends, number 224 in the Red Hymnal.
Seated. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a special moment. Addie's going to help me out. Thank you all. So we've been learning about our Advent wreath, right? So we learned what it is, right? It counts down to Christmas Eve, right? We learned what the candles mean, right? We learned why they're the colors they are, right? Okay, so today we're going to learn why do we have a green wreath part? Why a wreath, okay? So there's sort of two reasons for that. One, green symbolizes everlasting life because greenery, like a tree, doesn't lose its leaves, right? Have you noticed that the leaves outside on the trees that aren't evergreen trees kind of look deadish right now? Yeah, right? Because they lost all their leaves. Does your Christmas tree look deadish? No. No, it's... You have a fake tree. Well, then it'll be beautiful forever. You know, I think that wreath is a fake wreath, too, so it will really be evergreen. but even if it were a real tree, right, it would look still nice and green in this season, right? And that symbolizes the fact that we have everlasting life. And it's a circle, and a circle is round. It has no end. So for that reason, we are all connected, and we are never-ending. Kind of cool, huh? So we know a lot of things now about our Advent wreath, right? It's got a lot of different meanings, doesn't it? That's kind of cool, huh? Will you help me light the candles this week?
Sure.
Miles, do you want to go get the candle lighter? It's back there. And congregation, will you help us? Today we light the first, second, third, and fourth candles of the Advent wreath. Each candle has a meaning. The first candle means hope.
The second candle means
peace.
The third candle means
joy.
The fourth candle means
love.
Why do we celebrate love?
Jesus tells us, just as I love you, you should love one another.
All right. Who wants to find the love banner and put it on the front for me? I think it's tricky this time. It wasn't as easy as peace. And do you want to go get some light off the candles? Yeah, we'll put that one right on front. Should put joy on the back. All right, do you want to light 2 miles and then we'll pass it off? Thank you, guys. Let's all join in singing the Advent song, verse 4. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Throughout this Advent season, we've been talking about the song, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" And we've been experiencing Advent through different senses. I struggled a little bit to do taste. There were not a whole lot of Bible verses on tasting Advent. So we ended up going with saying. So today's sermon title is "Do You Say What I Say?" as opposed to "Do You Taste What I Taste?" or, as I shared with you before, the rejected thanks to my 27-year-old going on 14-year-old brother, "Do You Smell What I Smell?" Our scripture reading for today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 57 through 66. "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, 'No, he is to be called John.' They said to her, 'None of your relatives have this name.' Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, 'His name is John.' And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all the neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, 'What then will this child become?' For indeed, the hand of the Lord was with him." Will you pray with me? Holy God, we are in a season of darkness and of light. Help us to find your light and joy in this season. Help us to speak the good news of your love to all we meet. In your name we pray. Amen. For $1 million in a new car, who can guess 2019's happiest country on earth according to the Happiness Research Institute? Do you need some hints? I've got a couple. Denmark. That, you're getting close. Warm. Wasn't Norway either. Here are my clues. We are not in the happiest country right now. Its name in its official language is Suomi. It is the eighth largest country in Europe. And there are more saunas than cars located in this country. Finland is correct. Good job. But if you guessed another Nordic country, you are not far off. Number two is Denmark. Number three is Norway, followed by Iceland and the Netherlands. In fact, all five of the Nordic countries are in the top seven happiest countries. While all of these countries are known for their amazing beauty and their warm, friendly personalities, truths which I can personally attest to since I've visited three of the five, the fact that the Nordic countries are among the happiest in the world, I find personally to be a bit confusing, since these countries are also among the darkest in the world. While I understand the pristine beauty and the emphasis on caring for one another found in these amazing places, I have to admit the dark would get to me pretty quickly. There's something about sunlight for me. I love to walk outside and soak it in. Even on the coldest day of the year, if I can spend a few minutes walking outside in sunshine or at least staring at it through my window, I feel so much better. In fact, my mom and I are such sunlight fiends that we've been known to look up places in the world where it's sunny on a dreary spring day just to assure ourselves it exists somewhere else. While I don't know for sure what makes these countries so happy, I would be willing to guess it has something to do with the way people view darkness. That has a lot to do with it. Many of these countries view winter as a season where they find joy in family and friends and togetherness. They find ways to still be outdoors through pursuits such as skiing and snowshoeing. They simply seem to refuse to let the dark days get them down. Zechariah would have been someone who would have understood a lot about trying to find light in the midst of darkness. Zechariah lived in a very dark time for the ancient Israelites. Israel was living in the midst of extremely turbulent times. It found itself repeatedly tossed around and conquered by different area superpowers. First, they were conquered by the Assyrians, then the Babylonians, then the Greeks. And now the last civilization to control their lives and livelihood were the Romans. The Romans were comparatively kind dictators to their Jewish vassal state. They allowed the Israelites to stay in their homeland and practice their religion as long as they were quiet, well-behaved, and did not step out of line with their Roman captors and the vassal King Herod they put in place. But this was an uneasy arrangement, and tensions between the Jewish people and the Romans seemed likely to ignite at any time. Zechariah found himself in the middle of an uneasy society. He was neither at the top nor at the bottom of the heap. As a Levite, his job was to serve the Lord as a priest. This was a good, if not particularly glamorous, job. While he didn't often get to perform priestly functions before the Lord, he had work to do that was not strenuous, as other career options in Jewish society might have been. But as he moved around his duties at his temple, there always seemed to be an undertone of caution that Zechariah could not deny. He never knew if the Romans would end his time in the temple in destruction and violence. On top of the darkness swirling around them in the world, Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were experiencing their very own personal season of darkness as well. They desperately wanted a child, and yet Zechariah and Elizabeth found themselves unable to get pregnant. Now, at this point, they had passed the point where it seemed having a child would even be a possibility. They were trying slowly, surely, to let go of that secret hope and dream. I'm sure all of these thoughts and feelings of darkness were swirling in the back of Zechariah's mind on the day he entered the Holy of Holies, the part of the temple in Jerusalem where God was said to dwell. No sooner did Zechariah enter this sacred space than he heard the voice of an angel from God say, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will prepare the way for the one who is coming after him." Zechariah was naturally dumbfounded at the appearance of an angel and startled at this message, to say the least. And sometimes moments of brightness in life can catch us so off guard that we can barely believe they're true. This was one of those moments for Zechariah, so he naturally questioned the angel, saying, "How will I know this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." So the angel Gabriel told Zechariah that he would not be able to speak until his baby was born. Zechariah would have time to adjust to this big life change in silence. About 9 months later, Elizabeth had her baby. Naturally, all of Elizabeth and Zechariah's friends and family were really excited. So when 8 days after the baby was born, they came together to circumcise and name the child. These well-meaning friends and family members were naturally present. When they asked Elizabeth what she and Zechariah wanted to name their child, Elizabeth told her friends and family the baby was to be named John. Her relatives couldn't believe this. One said, "Surely you want to name your only son after his father." Another pointed out, "There is no one in your family with the name John." But Elizabeth held firm. Finally, they motioned to Zechariah and asked him to write on a clay tablet the child's name, thinking, of course, Zechariah would set the record straight. Zechariah wrote,
"His name is John." And immediately, Zechariah could speak again. The name John in Hebrew is pronounced Yohanan. It comes from the roots Yo, referring to the name for God, Yahweh, and Hanan, meaning to be gracious. What Zechariah wrote on the tablet was literally, "Yahweh is gracious," or as we might say today, "God is good." The moment when Zechariah pronounces and focuses on God's goodness, Zechariah is changed. He is once again able to speak. He sees things as they truly are, and he is able to get past his own darkness and fear in order to see the light that God has given him. One of my favorite phrases from the time when I worked at camp is, "God is good all the time, God is good." We would say it as a call and response in order to get everyone's attention. You want to try it with me? For example, I would say, "God is good all the time. All the time, God is good." Thank you all. Even though many of the staff and campers didn't spend a lot of time thinking about this short phrase, it's so wonderful that everyone got a simple reminder of the presence and goodness of God in their lives. There are so many moments in life when the world is not a good or an easy place. There are so many moments in life when things seem dark and ominous and scary. There are many, many moments when it is not easy for us to declare that God is good all the time. But the truth is that it is often in these moments of darkness that we are most able to experience light. My wonderful aunt taught me this truth without even realizing it when I was a little girl. Yesterday was the winter solstice, when the earth in the northern hemisphere is tilted furthest away from the sun. It causes it to be the longest night of the year. Every year when I was growing up, the evening of the winter solstice, my aunt would invite her friends and family over for a party to celebrate the longest night of the year. We would turn off all of the electric lights in the house and light only candles. We would celebrate and spend time with each other by candlelight. Even though the solstice falls so close to Christmas, it caused us to take a momentary pause to reflect on the darkness and the light in our lives. The truth is that it is often the darkness that helps us to find the light. While it is not always easy or fair or right, darkness shows us who we really are. It allows us to begin to see the goodness around us. It reminds us that even in the midst of challenges and pain, that we are not alone. That in the words of the Gospel John, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." In this season of darkness, there is light all around us. Sometimes that light is a single candle that we are not yet ready to accept. But what Zechariah reminded us is that hope can be found in the most unexpected places. That God is good even in the midst of darkness and strife. Today I have brought for all of you a little bottle. It's got a string with an ornament. And I would encourage you guys to leave yourself a message of hope for the moments when you need to remember God's goodness the most. You can hang it on your Christmas tree and pack it away with your ornaments and use it again next year, or put it somewhere else that will help you remember. Wherever you choose to keep it, I hope it will help you to remember that God is good all the time. All the time, God is good during this Christmas season. Amen and amen. Will you please join with me in singing "Go Tell It on the Mountain," number 251.
Please be seated. You always beat me to the punch. Throughout Advent, we've been talking about apportionments, our portions set aside for others in the church that we give to the greater church beyond us to support local and global ministries. I don't have a fun video to show you today, but I did want to celebrate something really, really wonderful with you all. We are at $7,500 towards our apportionments, so I just want to thank you all so much for contributing to that, and truly God is good all the time. I know that that money will go on to bless many, many, many others beyond these walls. What a wonderful gift. In the United Methodist Church, we believe in supporting our church through five things: prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. You have already given us all a gift today by being here. In a minute, the ushers are going to come forward and bring the offering plates. If you would like to put down a prayer card, a prayer on the prayer card, you may do so, and also support us through your financial gifts. Thank you all. I'm going to stop talking now. Ushers, come forward.
Holy One, this Advent season, we wait in peace and we give in peace. A peace deeper than our anxiety and fear. A peace growing from our trust in your loving power. Receive these generous offerings and use them to bring your peace to our world. Amen.
I'd like to invite you to share any prayers that you may have this morning.
I have a niece that just found out she's got, well, she has cancer, but they can't operate. And I have a nephew that has the same thing. He's a Alvin Shelley.
Oh. So you just found out that your niece has inoperable cancer.
It's inoperable.
Yeah, and your nephew has the same thing. And both of them, and they're both in Shell Lake, correct? Yeah. So we pray for your niece and your nephew. We pray that they will find the right options in the midst of this challenge, and that they will have a community that surrounds them and loves them.
We're glad we're here today because Paul had bronchitis and he's on his second antibiotic ending today, and he had NIV treatments for quite a while, so I think we missed four Sundays, or three, whatever it was.
It was a lot.
I'm glad we're here.
We are glad that you are here, too, and we are particularly glad you are here. We suggest a different holiday adventure next year. Yes. But we hope that you will get feeling even better soon, and that you will continue to be healthy for the rest of the winter now. What?
I pray every day.
Yes, and I pray with you.
Our doctor said we don't see you unless he's sick.
Yeah. Yes. I heard. Thank you for being here today. Welcome, welcome. You live in Oregon now, right?
Washington.
Yeah, Washington. I was close-ish. Well, welcome back. We're happy to have you with us. We had our Blue Christmas service a couple days ago. And that, along with a beautifully written message from my cousin, inspires our candle prayer tonight. I pray that we will particularly pray this Christmas season for those who are having trouble finding darkness in the midst, or finding light in the midst of darkness. I know that this is not a happy season for all. So we pray for those who struggle in this Christmas season. Will you silently pray with me? God of light and darkness, of love and joy and sadness. Lord, we know that you created this world out of darkness, and that you love each and every person who is in it. During this Advent season, help us to find you in the midst of the busyness, in the midst of everything else going on. Help us to know that you are with us, that you are Emmanuel, God with us. Whether we see you as a little baby laying in a manger, or as an angel telling us good news. Today we pray particularly for those with health concerns. We pray that they would know that you are always with them and that you would strengthen them day by day. We pray particularly for those with cancer, an illness which seems to steal people's lives. We pray that you would walk alongside them, guiding their journey moment by moment. We pray particularly for those who are in long-term care facilities or who our home can find. We pray that they would feel Christmas come to them, that they would know how much we love them. We pray particularly for all of those who are traveling or serving in the military outside of our area. We pray that they would feel connected to their families, even in the midst of being far, far away. We pray all this as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us go forth ready to shout, God is good, even in the midst of the darkness of our lives. Amen.